Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, Canada turns to the United States to help settle a dispute with China.
Canada's starting to say, you do something to help us here. We went to bat for you. What are you doing for us?
Can the Green Party win another seat as voters in Nanaimo-Ladysmith head to the polls for today's by-election?
I really believe in what you feel when you're on the ground and when you're talking to people, and there's definitely a buzz.
And what comes next, now that Saskatchewan has lost its carbon tax fight in court?
The fate of the Trudeau carbon tax will be decided in the federal election this fall. Over the past year, we have seen three provincial elections where the carbon tax has been the ballot question. In every case, the party supporting the Trudeau carbon tax has lost.
It's Monday, May the 6th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by Peter Van Dusen, CPAC's executive producer and the host of Primetime Politics. Good morning, Peter.
Morning, Mark.
So Canada is turning to the United States for help to settle the dispute with China, which, of course, began with the arrest of a Huawei executive and has spread into so many other areas now. What do you make of this development? And is it likely that that Canada and the United States can get on the same page in a way that will resolve the dispute that has been building between Canada and China?
You know, I don't know if they can get on the same page, Mark, but because they're... you look at the different things that are lately, and it's hard to see where they're getting on the same page on a whole lot of things. I mean, there's lots of question marks now about the new trade deal we signed with the United States and Mexico, and whether that's going to go anywhere as long as Donald Trump's there. And you know, the Canadian part of this story is that Canada, following the rule of law and trumpeting that approach, at the request of the United States, you know, and detained Meng Wanzhou in Vancouver. I think we all know the story, and now she's facing an extradition proceeding at some point. Ottawa's federal government's Canada's being poked here repeatedly with a sharp stick by the Chinese because they're not happy that this has taken place, and they're retaliating on the economic side. We know about canola, now it's pork and peas, and lots of expectation that it'll be something else. And while this is all going on, we're holding in this country a Chinese tech executive for the United States as part of a legal process. The United States, meanwhile, is working on trying to negotiate a trade deal with China, and the president, Donald Trump, has said, look, if I think I can get a better trade deal, maybe we don't proceed with the extradition process. In the meantime, Canada is paying a high economic price for this trade war with the Chinese, and saying, "Look, you need to help us out here. You need to put some pressure on us, on the Chinese. You need to go to bat for Canada." Canada is also helping the United States on the diplomatic front in Venezuela, in Latvia, contributions through NATO after a big push by the Americans. So yeah, Canada is starting to say, "You do something to help us here. We went to bat for you. What are you doing for us?"
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, there is some news that perhaps today the Liberals will announce an increase to the Canada Child Benefit. This is a report from CTV News that broke last night. I think some people have been speculating about this for some time, that might be an announcement that was coming.
Yeah, this is, I think this, this is the Canada Child Benefit, Mark. It's the CCB. You could also call it these days the channel changing benefit. this is the government's effort, I think, and maybe it should have come several months ago. They're trying to, change the channel and get it back on the things that, Canadians, they believe Canadians want them to do, which is to raise the middle class, do things for families, which they've promised to do. And, increasing this, I think the amount is will end up being somewhere between $150 and $300 a year, depending on the age of your kids and how much of a benefit you're entitled to get. But I think that's what this is. This is somebody's saying in the PMO now, and in the government, saying, look, let's the election's 5 months away here, folks. Let's start putting stuff in the window that got us elected in the first place, the promises we made, raising the middle class and, those trying to work hard to join it. And let's get out from questions about Mark Norman and questions about Huawei and questions about Jody Wilson-Raybould. Let's start putting the agenda that we want to put before Canadians, and then we can make a case for telling them, see, we're trying to put more money in your pockets and you need to reelect us so that we can keep doing it.
Yeah, and speaking of elections, you mentioned the federal election is less than 6 months away. There's a by-election today in Nanaimo Ladysmith in British Columbia, and the timing is interesting because this is whoever the new MP is going to come to Ottawa and serve basically for about 6 or 7 weeks, and then Parliament will rise for the summer, and that person will have to be running for his or her own seat again in the federal election in the fall. But there is rising talk and even some data that suggests maybe the Green Party is in contention in this riding to win a second seat in the House of Commons. What do you expect to happen in this by-election?
Not sure, but it's going to be interesting to watch. I think you got to be careful with smallish polling samples in these kinds of election races, by-election races. But to me, I mean, this is clearly another story about, you know, watch the Greens. It's an NDP seat. The NDP will try and hold it, obviously, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens to the Green Party, because I think this is, you know, this is quickly becoming an election story to watch as the months count down here to the federal vote, and it'll be something to watch in the federal vote as well. What is the role of the Green Party going to be? Are we coming to a pivot point in this country, or a lot of people have talked about the Greens, they've looked at the Greens, they've considered the Greens, then they get to the ballot box and they don't vote for the Greens. And I don't mean to have it sound quite that crass, because a lot of Canadians do vote for the Green Party, but not in enough numbers to send more than Elizabeth May to the House of Commons. But is something, in following these stories, Mark, talking to people, there certainly seems to be something happening within the Canadian electorate, that if they're looking at alternative choices, that it's not just the same old three parties that they're looking at, that they're actually prepared to really consider the Green Party and maybe put a vote there. And I think that's what people will be watching for in this by-election. This is supposed to be a safe NDP seat. And if the Green Party knocks off the NDP, then I think the NDP is going to be looking over their shoulders in the months and the weeks and months ahead, or as we get to the federal vote. And on federal voting night, if this kind of perhaps sort of trend of people looking closely at the Green Party continues, we could see some surprises on election night in October.
All right. We'll see the results late tonight from British Columbia. Let's talk for a moment about a couple of stories that broke late last week, and it'll be interesting to see as Parliament resumes and other things are going on as the week starts, whether or not they are talked about in front and center. First of all, the fact that the Saskatchewan Court of Appeal sided with the federal government on the constitutionality of the carbon tax. Where do you see this going? Jason Kenney, the Alberta Premier, said on the weekend that Canadians will get to decide in the federal election about carbon pricing. Is that where we're headed with this?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that's where we're headed. It'll still be an election issue. It won't be settled in the courts. And that's exactly what opponents to the carbon tax want. I think the government would rather this would all go away, that they would have won everybody over, that Liberal premiers, you know, were not dropping in provincial elections, and they could sort of keep a critical mass of elected officials at higher levels, provincial premiers that would support this climate change plan that the federal Liberals have put before Canadians. But on the other side, Andrew Scheer and Conservative premiers who oppose it, they love this, Mark. It's not a court case. It's a political fight. It could go on forever in the court. They could lose at every stage in the court. Do you think they would stop talking about it? No, they wouldn't, because they're not framing it as a legal issue. They're suggesting that as a jurisdictional issue, but they're really framing it for voters as a pocketbook issue. This is a carbon tax. They want to take your money away. The Liberals are framing it as the way to save, you know, the best and only real way to save the planet from catastrophic climate change. So this will be the narrative for right to the campaign, Mark. It's going to be we want to stop the government from putting their hands in your pocket. That'll be what the opponents are saying. The government will be saying, we want to save the planet. And by the way, in backstop provinces, we're giving you back more money than it's actually costing you. And I think that's going to be, Canadians are going to have to decipher who's telling the truth here. And did they feel it's okay to take money from me for fighting climate change, and you tell me I'm getting more back? If that's the winning argument, fine. And on the other side, it's going to be, don't let Ottawa tell you that. Don't let Ottawa do this to you. It's your money. They're taking it away and giving it back to you. it's going to cost you more. It's going to cost you more for everything, and that's going to be the two arguments when we get to the polls in October.
All right, and finally, there was a report late last week that Liberal MP Andrew Leslie, who said he's not running for re-election, has been called as a defense witness in the case of Vice Admiral Mark Norman, who has been suspended from senior ranks of the Canadian Armed Forces and is facing an upcoming criminal trial. And if he's testifying, if Leslie is testifying on behalf of Norman, that it means he's on Norman's side versus the federal government here. So I'm sure there will be questions about this in the days ahead.
Yeah, there should be. It's, you know, I'm not sure what answers we'll get. Andrew Leslie himself saying, I can't say any more on the advice of counsel. Lawyers have told me that. I think it's worth noting a couple of things. Nobody at this point knows exactly why Andrew Leslie is going to be, if he is, called by the defense team. Is it simply to offer, you know, a character reference in support of Mark Norman? Is he going to be there to throw the whole conversation wide open about how it works in back channels, about getting information out about different things, whether this has happened before, whether, you know, he's going to blow the lid off something, something explosive and expose something in government? Not sure about that. And the other thing is, you know, Andrew Leslie went to the government, I think it's a year ago, and said to them, look, he was going to do this. And by all reports, the government didn't try and dissuade him, didn't try to find out what he was or wasn't going to say. So I'm not sure what to make of it. I'm not sure what to make of it except that it probably doesn't look good for the government again. Somebody who was, you know, a highly recruited candidate, and to be fair, there's lots of talk about why Andrew Leslie's decided not to run again. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with his dissatisfaction with his role in the government. He was the whip. But I think when he was recruited, I think he fully expected to have a cabinet post, didn't get a cabinet post. And I don't think he sees himself sitting as a backbench MP for another 4 years after October if the Liberals get reelected again. So I'm not saying the two things are connected, because I'm not sure he knew a year ago when he said he was going to testify or would offer to testify for the defense in the Mark Norman case that he knew then he would be running again. But maybe he did. But it probably doesn't look good to have someone of the profile of Mr. Leslie deciding that he's not going to hang around for the next election.
All right. We'll see what happens in the hours and days ahead. Peter, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
As always, a pleasure, Mark. We'll talk to you soon.
That's CPAC's Peter Van Dusen.
The fate of the Trudeau carbon tax will be decided in the federal election this fall. Over the past year, we have seen three provincial elections where the carbon tax has been the ballot question. In every case, the party supporting the Trudeau carbon tax has lost.
Now, here's what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In an editorial, the Globe and Mail argues conservatives secretly love the carbon tax. The Globe writes, "The fight against the carbon tax isn't really about constitutional law. It's about making political hay out of opposition to the tax. And out there on the hustings, if you're talking about taxes and gas prices, it's always a good day for hay. For conservative governments and parties, making the carbon tax their number one issue is their number one misdirection strategy. It's supercharged, high-octane political fuel." In the Toronto Star, Robin Sears argues political parties are wise to court expat voters. Sears writes, "If you're an expat Swiss, Australian, or Italian, your government goes to great lengths to let you know your right to vote. Canada merely provides a very unimpressive website. When you vote, you know that politicians are more likely to pay attention to the issues you care about. If you don't vote, they won't. Canada's political parties should consider the risk they take in not organizing this new group of educated and potentially motivated voters." In the Toronto Sun, Larry Elder argues, "The post-Trump economic disaster has not come to pass." Elder writes, "Some experts warned of instant economic disaster under a Donald Trump presidency, but a funny thing happened on our way to economic oblivion. The economy took off. The economy hit 3% GDP growth last year. The NASDAQ recently hit a new high, and the Dow Jones is close to one. Consumer confidence polls show a level of economic optimism not seen in years." Now, here's what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. The Prime Minister begins the day with private meetings. Later this morning, he and Science Minister Kirsty Duncan will take part in the Natural Sciences and Engineering Research Council of Canada Roundtable on Research Excellence in Ottawa, followed by a meeting with the Commissioner of Official Languages. Minister of Families Jean-Yves Duclos will make announcements in Montreal and in Barrie and Richmond Hill, Ontario. Environment Minister Catherine McKenna will speak with the media in Metz, France, following a meeting with the G7 environment ministers. And Governor General Julie Payette will present a series of Natural Sciences and Engineering Research Council of Canada awards during a ceremony at Rideau Hall. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Monday, May the 6th. Tune into Primetime Politics tonight on CPAC for coverage of all the day's events. Our podcast returns tomorrow morning. Have a great day.